From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue this series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, as found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled Loved Unto the End. The text is found in Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 31. For the Lord will not cast off forever. He may cast away for a season, but not forever. A woman may leave off her ornaments for a few days, but she will not forget them, nor throw them upon the dunghill. It is not like the Lord to cast off those whom He loves. For having loved His own which were in the world, He loved them unto the end. Some talk of our being in grace and out of it, as if we were like rabbits that run in and out of their burrows. But indeed, it is not so. The Lord's love is a far more serious and abiding matter than this. He chose us from eternity, and He will love us throughout eternity. He loved us so as to die for us, and we may therefore be sure that His love will never die. His honor is so wrapped up in the salvation of the believer that He can no more cast him off than He can cast off His own robes of office as King of glory. No, no. The Lord Jesus as a head can never cast off His members. As a husband, He never casts off His bride. Did you think you were cast off? Why did you think so evil of the Lord who has betrothed you to Himself? Cast off such thoughts, and never let them lodge in your soul again. The Lord hath not cast away His people which He foreknew. He hateth putting away.
Yeah.
If your Bible reading is usually in the Authorized or King James Version, you have probably encountered words that are quite unfamiliar. Because the Authorized Version was translated in the 17th century, some of its words are no longer in use, or perhaps have a different meaning now. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer a booklet containing many of those archaic terms and their meaning in modern-day speech. In addition, the booklet contains a Bible reading plan that will help you to read the whole Bible through in 2 years, as well as the Psalms and the New Testament twice. To obtain your copy of A Bible Word List free of charge, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of A Bible Word List, and we'll be happy to provide it. In the opening verses of the Epistle to the Romans, Paul defined the gospel of Jesus Christ as the gospel of God. As Dr. Cairns has been showing, this gospel was not the product of man, but was given directly by God. God is the substance and the supreme end of it. Any message that differs from this is not the gospel. Contrary to the notion that Paul preached two different gospels, the uniform testimony of the Bible is that there is only one gospel. As we've already seen, all of the apostles were unanimous in their agreement on this. Indeed, the faithful preaching of and adherence to this gospel is the mark of a true servant of Jesus Christ. Now Dr. Cairns will conclude this message called The One and Only Apostolic Gospel.
The claim that Paul preached a different gospel from the other apostles is spurious. The claim that the other apostles kept on preaching a gospel of the kingdom while he had received the great secret, the mystery, as it's expounded, for example, in the prison epistles, especially in Ephesians and Colossians. Or the theory of E.W. Bullinger and the greatest dispensationalists, I mean greatest in the sense of the most consistent, that Paul himself preached the gospel of the kingdom right up to the end of the book of Acts. And only after that did God let him into the real secret about the church, and then he started preaching a different gospel. There's no basis in Scripture. Many reasons for saying that. It's inconceivable, totally inconceivable, that the Lord would leave a major portion of the New Testament church without this truth of the that is fundamental to what, according to what we're told, to New Testament Christianity. It's impossible to believe that God is working out two eternally divergent purposes for Israel and the church, and never the twain shall meet. As I say, I'm delighted that there are many brethren in the dispensational camp who are coming away from this, the progressives. I don't know how far they've progressed, and I don't say that sarcastically. I just don't know where it's going to end. But I wish them well in their journey, and I hope they keep on journeying. And if they keep on journeying, they'll soon be right beside me in covenant theology. Paul never preached any gospel but the one he's preaching here. And he explicitly states Peter preached the same gospel. In 1 Corinthians 15:11, he says, whether it were I or they, so we preach and so ye believed. Preach all the same gospel. To the Galatians in chapter 2:6, he speaks of speaking with Peter and the other Jerusalem apostles. And he says, in conference, they added nothing to me. When you hear Peter preaching in Acts 15, verse 11, he sounds very much like Paul. He says, we believe that through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. And then when you read his epistles, what is he stressing and underlining? The very same truths that Paul is stressing here in the book of Romans. The divine sovereignty and salvation. The centrality of the person and work of Jesus Christ. Redemption by the blood of the Lamb. Christ's resurrection is the ground of our hope. The exaltation of the ascended Christ to the place of supreme power at the right hand of God. That's in Peter just as clearly as in Paul. And when he comes to sum up his message, he calls it the gospel. Just as Paul calls his the gospel. He exalts faith as the instrument that receives salvation. He sees faith as obedience to the gospel, just as Paul does. And he speaks of believers as the temple of God. And it's his way of describing and defining, as Paul did to the Corinthians, our union in Jesus Christ. So each apostle expounds the same gospel in terms particular and peculiar to the needs of his readers. But it was the one apostolic gospel after all. And that leads to the final remark, and how far-reaching this remark is. It is the faithful adherence to and preaching of this gospel that marks a true servant of Jesus Christ. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. What marked him as a servant of Jesus Christ? He preached this gospel. Writing to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 23, he says, we preach Christ. We preach Christ. In chapter 2 of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, verse 2, he says, I determined, speaking about when he came among them, to declare the testimony of God. I determined not to know anything among you save Christ and him crucified. The verb to know there, obviously, has the meaning of make known. When Paul says, I determined not to know anything among you, he obviously knew a whole lot of things among them. He knew of their needs, he knew of their divisions, he knew of this, he knew of that, he knew of the other things. But when he came to preach, he said, I have only one message for you, and that is Christ and him crucified. In chapter 9 and verse 16 of 1 Corinthians, he says, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. I understand what this is saying. There can be no true Christianity where there is no steadfast adhering to the apostolic preaching of the gospel. The Church of Rome makes much of the marks of the true church. They are usually four in number. And one of them is what they call apostolicity. In Roman Catholic terms, that means they think a clear line of succession from the apostles to the present pope. Of course, that is manufactured history. Hans Christian Andersen is nearer to history than that one. But that's their theory. They imagine that that constitutes apostolicity. We have a whole line of people, and each had the hands of the ones, bishops consecrated by one pope, laid hands on another who became a pope, and he laid hands on other bishops, and they laid hands on others, and so on down the centuries. You've got this apostolic succession. But you know, true apostolic succession does not lie in some imaginary line from Peter to John Paul II. True apostolic succession lies in faithfulness to the apostolic message. After all, even if they could, which they can't, but even if they could show you that there is an unbroken linkage all the way of one man laying his ungodly hands on another, how would that stand up against the word of Paul if any man or even an angel from heaven preaches any other gospel unto you than this one? Let him be accursed. How would their apostolic succession stand up to that? We're now in serious water because we're talking about popes who say that they are successors of the apostles, but they preach a message that Paul has anathematized. And by the way, the Council of Trent, after quoting, well, you would think it was a quote of Romans 3:28, after an almost verbatim quotation of the Apostle Paul, they say, let him be accursed. You believe this, you're accursed. So you've got a double curse here. Paul has cursed any who don't preach what he preaches. And the Council of Trent has cursed Paul for daring to preach what he preached. No, there's no Christianity where this gospel isn't preached. I know what I'm saying there. There's a great controversy going on in our local press at the minute. A lot of irate Roman Catholics writing in about these bigoted fundamental Baptists who have the audacity to want to see Roman Catholics saved. I say, God bless the Baptists. Keep at it. But they're writing in anger. Do these people not know history? Do they not know we go all the way back to the apostles? Do they not know that their Baptist churches are just an offshoot of our great Catholic church? Truth is, the Church of Rome is neither Catholic nor Christian. It has abandoned the gospel of Jesus Christ. But in saying that, honesty compels me to say that Paul's gospel does not get much of a welcome in most of the churches of Protestantism either. This is the gospel of the apostles. The mark of the early church was they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. The apostles warned about departing from this gospel. Anybody who preaches any other gospel, he may be a minister of the church, but he is not the servant of God. Some of you young men profess to be called of God to preach. That is a very solemn and a very serious claim to make. But I want to tell you If God has called you to preach, whether he's called you to a Baptist church, a Bible church, a Presbyterian church, or whatever kind of name you want to give to it, he has called you to preach this gospel. You make sure before you ever get behind the sacred desk that you have got through this book, especially the book of Romans, until it has saturated your soul, until you know this gospel, until it burns in your bones, until you would rather never preach than preach any other message. God has not called you to be a slick PR man. God has not called you to seeker-sensitive religion. God has not called you to the various idiocies that masquerade as gospel preaching today. God has not called you to be a sob storyteller. God has called you, and you can use good illustration to this effect if you have the ability, but God has called you to be a preacher of the gospel of a free justification by the imputation of the righteousness of Jesus Christ by faith, without works. And as we go through this book, you will see how that touches every part of life. When you get that gospel, like Paul, you'll have the answer for the guiltiest of heathens. When you have this gospel, you have the answer to the most pharisaical and self-righteous of the religious crowd. When you have this gospel, you have the answer for Christians who are struggling with inbred sin. If you have this gospel, you have the answer that gives assurance to people who are battling doubt. When we get to chapter 5, you will see how the whole doctrine of Christian assurance is based on this understanding of the gospel. I tell you, my friend, you know nothing. You know nothing until you know this gospel. The one and only divine, authentic, apostolic gospel of God in Jesus Christ. May God burn it into our heart that we also will be able to say, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For I tell you, once you've got a grip of this one, or better still, once this gospel gets a grip of you, you realize there is no greater privilege in the world than the privilege of making it known.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.